Reading to you from Revelation, the first chapter, the 18th verse. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this is Evangelist Cecil Moe. And as you know, I'm a converted alcoholic. Gave my heart to Christ over 55 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. And then 1 year later, God called me to preach. And of course, you know, I've been doing everything. Oh, I've got some good news. Did you know, I kind of had to retire from my prison ministries too. And I got a call from the chaplain saying, Cecil, the men who've been praying for you want to know how you and your wife is doing. Do the two services, the 3 o'clock and the 4 o'clock service next Sunday. Oh, I said, I'll do it. God will give me enough strength to do it. Well, friends, I'll be with you for half an hour tonight. Won't you just kick off your slippers, sit back and relax, and pour you a glass of iced tea, a lemonade, or a cup of coffee. Let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? Friends, if you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to the 9th chapter of the book of Acts, and let's begin reading with the first verse. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went into the high priest, and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any in this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined around about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Oh, friends, listen. Great news at any conversion. I will never forget April 15th, 1955. That was the day this old alcoholic sinner fell upon his knees and cried out, Lord, be merciful to Cecil Moe, a sinner. Oh, listen, has that happened to you? If not, you know what? God wants you to listen for the next 25 minutes because this message is for you. The Bible tells us Jesus came to seek and to save that which is lost. It tells us in Luke 15:10, Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Now listen to this. Listen carefully. No repentance, no salvation. Thus saith the Lord. Friends, listen. If there's joy in the hearts of the angels, and there surely is joy in the hearts of Christians. I love to hear from the people in the Dalles. They go out to the rest home and they lead a lot of those old men and old women to Christ who are sitting on their deathbed, actually. And I remember working in rest homes myself. And those dear people, you know, one time there was a little old lady and she said, Preacher, I can't sleep at night. and they won't give me any sleeping pills. I said, I got a lady down here, she can't sleep. Okay, he said, I'll give her a bunch of sugar pills. Now, I said, you go back and you say, now, the druggist did give you something to sleep by. Now, just all you got to do is take one. However, if you don't get to sleep right away, you could have two. The next morning, she said, oh, preacher, I never slept so good in my life. All they were sugar pills, but that was good enough for her. Well, friends, salvation is one of the greatest things that will ever happen to you in your lifetime. Conversions of earth-shaking experience. You remember Moody, D.L. Moody, one of the great preachers of olden times. You know what he was? He was selling shoes in a shoe store. And Mr. Kimball, his Sunday school teacher, led him to the Lord. Billy Sunday was converted at the Pacific Garden Mission. Now, I've spoke there. In fact, they did my life story on Unshackled, coming from Pacific Garden Missions. And, oh, friends, listen. You know, I've been a director of three rescue missions. That's a love of my heart. But those men and those women, they have no place to go. They're homeless. They're hungry. They need clothes, and sometimes they can't afford to get their teeth fixed, and they need glasses. And in that mission, they give them clothing. They give them glasses. And, oh, my stars, I tell you, don't get me started on rescue missions, because I really believe in them from the bottom of my heart. I've led many, many, many people to Christ in rescue missions. You know, years ago, there was a pastor of a large church down in North Carolina, and he had a tooth problem. He went to the dentist, and they gave him some, took his tooth out. He had a dry socket. Well, I know what a dry socket is. That's terrible painful. The dentist gave him some Oxycontin, I guess that's what they call it. It's a terrible, terrible drug. You can get hooked on it real quick. Well, did you know what happened? He lost his church. He lost his family. And now he's in Skid Row in North Carolina. And he's hooked on these drugs. Well, Billy Graham's dad knew this pastor when he was preaching there in that big church. And he went down in Skid Row and he found this man and took him over to this, boy, oh boy, rescue mission. And the next thing I know, years later, he got converted, and then he is also the director of that large mission. Well, I was invited to preach there a couple of times. Well, they're mostly black men. They're mostly very few white men in there. Not that that's, I don't know why it is, but there isn't. And I preached down there one night. I gave an invitation. And men after men after men came forward, threw their arms around my neck, weeping and saying they wanted to put their trust in Jesus. And this preacher said, Cecil, I'll never see anything like it. You know why they did that? Because they knew I was for real. They knew I loved them. They knew one time I was in their steps. I too was an alcoholic. Well, rescue missions, don't get me started because I get so excited. Now, there's three important questions on the Damascus Road. And the first was a question of conviction. And we read in the fourth verse, and he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Well, friends, listen to me. Saul thought he was doing God a great, great favor by going out and destroying the Christian and the church and beating up on Christians, putting them in jail. Don't you remember when, first of all, Saul was introduced at the stoning of Stephen. When you remember when they stoned that deacon to death? Saul was holding Stephen's coat. And you know, he never could shut his eyes anymore without seeing that wonderful martyr crying out, God forgive them, for they know not what they do. He then became a persecutor of the church as well as the Christians. Now, no doubt, Christians undoubtedly prayed fervently for him. He must have seemed unreachable. But Saul had been doing wicked things, but didn't feel guilty. Now, the miracle near Damascus. He was almost there with these letters of persecution. He was going to throw him in jail. He was going to beat him. He was going to kill him. And it seemed the prayers of believers would not be answered. Oh, beloved, the light and voice is what made the difference. What must God send your way to bring you to himself? I read in verse 5, and he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. A lot of people say, what does that mean, it's so hard to kick against the pricks? Well, years ago, they used to have hot oxen, you know. And they would pull these big loads and these wagons. And anyway, what happened, if there would be a lazy one, they would put spikes in the single tree. And every time he'd back up, you know, kind of not pull his load, those pricks would gouge him in the leg and he'd make him work. So, that, you know, can imagine, he said, boy, how hard it is for the kick against the pricks. Well, let me tell you, oh, the question was in the verse 5, read it again, and he said, Who art thou, Lord? He knew who was talking to him, and the Lord said, I am Jesus. Well, friends, it shows Saul's willingness to submit to the questioner. Saul, who had sat at the feet of wise Gamaliel, Saul, who was a leader of his religion. Saul did not expect the answer he received, and here's what he heard. I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. Jesus whom he had scorned. And Jesus, whose gospel seemed an insult to this intelligent man. Well, now Jesus, whom he had come to resent, to despise. You know, Jesus, whose followers he despised and persecuted, but Saul had never personally persecuted Jesus. But now he realizes the bond between Jesus and believers. You know, he said, inasmuch as you've done this to the least of my brethren, you've done it unto me. Whenever someone hurts you, you hurt a Christian, they're hurting Jesus. Oh, listen, to mistreat a Christian is to mistreat Jesus. Well, Saul converted immediately upon hearing the answer of Christ. Now, the question that brought concentration, verse 6, and he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Friends, listen, I can remember saying the very same words back in Seattle, Washington, 1956. I'd got saved. The Lord had delivered me alcoholism. My business was beginning to pick up, and I was roofing and going to church and witnessing and just having a ball, thought I died, went to heaven. Well, God had a plan for my life. I sure didn't know he did, but he did. Just like he has a plan for you tonight. You say, Cecil, you don't know anything about me. No, but I know if you're born again, he has absolutely a positive plan for your life. You say, well, you know, Cecil, I don't have an education and this and that. Well, maybe you can mow the lawn for Jesus. Maybe you can wash the windows in the church. Or maybe you can go and clean up after some of those dirty old people that leaves dirty dishes in the church. That's because there's no leadership anymore. You know, that's a terrible thing. If it wasn't for the women, beloved, we would not even have a church today if it were not for the women. I remember when I was the director of the mission in Grand Forest, North Dakota. This little old lady was 80 years old. Her son had a beautiful Buick dealership out of in another town. But she lived in an old rundown apartment. She didn't even have a washing machine. So one day she came into my office and said, "Brother, you know, those little curtains around the pulpit there in our place where we preach, I'm going to take them home and wash them. They haven't been washed for a long time." And so we went and sent a washing machine out to her place. And she sent it back. She said, "I'd rather scrub them on a scrub board." Oh, what a precious saint of God. You know, I have been privileged to work with some of the sweetest Christians in the whole world. They would come into missions, these men and women. They were not homeless. But you know why they would come to the Saturday night evangelistic service in our mission? Why? They'd come down there, and then after the service, we had a great big huge dining room, and we would have sandwiches and cookies and cake and coffee and milk. And those dear little men and women would come in that they might sit beside those old winos and those ladies who were of the street, and they'd witness to them. Oh, there's a special place in heaven for those dear men and women that used to come down to the mission and tell those men and women about Christ. You know, friends, there's one thing I want you to know, and I've learned this the 40 years I've been doing prison work. Those people can spot a phony quicker than you can believe it. They know if you're a phony. You know, you say, "Well, what do you mean?" Well, did you know, I know you think I'm crazy, I don't wear a suit and a tie into prison. Now, I have to ride in that little electric scooter because I can't walk very well. And I'll tell them, "I'm sorry I can't stand up to preach, but that's okay, preacher. You just go right ahead." And I'll sit there, and the first thing I tell them, "You know what? You're not junk. Oh, maybe you've made junk of your life, but you're not junk. And I tell you one thing for sure, God loves you, and he came in the world to die for you." You say, "But I'm a convict." So you made a mistake. Now, what does the Bible say in Romans 3:23? "For we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God." Sure enough, we sure have. Well, I'm up on this roof just a shingling up a storm, and it was just like an inner voice said, "Stop and shut up just for a minute." And I said, "Lord, what will thou have me do?" And he said, "I want you to be a preacher." I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it. Yes, three-word vocabulary, duh, duh, and duh. Oh, but my friends, I told him that I would. I didn't know how I was going to do it. I didn't have much of an education. Oh, I had high school, business college, but I didn't have any formal college education. And today, our young preacher boys are told if they don't go to seminary in Bible college, they don't want them. And they didn't want me when I came to Oregon to pastor. Many of them didn't want me because I didn't have the education that they thought I should have, and that I was a converted alcoholic and would probably go back to drinking anyway. Oh, friends, it was hard. It was really hard. And I could imagine, I wanted to preach at a great big fancy church with a great big choir behind me. But God said, "Cecil, I'm going to send you back where I found you, back into Skid Row, back where the homeless and the abused and sick people." And that is what I did. And I spent years in rescue missions. I spent years on radio, quite a few months on TV. And I found the message is this. Christ died for your sins. He was sinless, but he gave his life. They didn't take it. He gave it for to redeem us from hell. Well, when he was on that cross, God had to turn his back just for a while because God can't look on sin. Now, he went on that cross sinless, and then he became a sinner for you and me because that's the only way we can get our sins paid for, through the blood of Jesus. Oh, my friends. Then Paul asked this, or Saul asked the job, Lord, what would they have me to do? Here is Saul's expression of a full surrender. Saul wanted to do the will of his newfound Savior, and great blessings would flow from his obedience. Saul was a missionary and a church planter, and Saul's penman for God, writer of the Scriptures. He surrendered to God and to see what he does through him and what he can do for you. Just surrender to him. You say, how do you do that? Well, you just surrender. Say, Lord, here's my life. I don't know what you want for it, but I'm ready to get busy. I'm ready to do it. And one of the greatest prayers you'll ever pray after you've born again, and is, Lord, fill me with your blessed Holy Spirit. Lord, endue me with power from on high. Lord, help me be a soul winner for Jesus. I've got a couple questions for you. What will it take to bring you to conviction of sin? And what will it take to bring you to conversion? What will it take to bring you to consecration? Listen, the Lord will meet you with life-changing power. Oh, friends, if I had to go out on my own in my own flesh, I'd fall flat on my face. We have to go in the Spirit of God. Now, he will equip you for any job that he calls you to do. You can't do it alone, beloved. You cannot do it alone. You need the Holy Spirit of God. Well, you say, well, do I have to, how do I get the Holy Spirit? You get the Holy Spirit the day you repent of your sins and invite him into your heart. Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit and should not be defiled. Our lives are not our own. We are bought with a price. Okay, you say, well, Cecil, you made it a little clear. Let me tell you what. God doesn't love your sins, but he loves you and I as sinners. Do you get that? Oh, friends, listen. I want you to know tonight, some of you are sitting on your chair or a davenport and you're thinking, well, was God speaking to me? Absolutely, God was speaking to you through me. All I am, beloved, is an instrument. That's all I am. And he tells me that I need to tell you about Jesus, and that's what I did tonight. Tell you that Paul was a persecutor of the church and of the Christians. He got converted. He went out and turned the world upside down for Jesus. Finally gave his life up in the prison. They cut his head off. Oh, my friends, God's looking for a few souls. Are you one of them? If you have a tugging at your heart, the Holy Spirit's pulling your heart, I want you to bow your head to me right now. And I want you to pray this powerful prayer. But don't you dare pray it unless you mean it. Dear Lord, I confess that I'm a sinner. Oh God, forgive me for my wayward life. Tonight, Lord, I'm coming clean. I'm inviting you in to be my personal Lord and Savior in Jesus' name. Amen. You prayed that prayer. Get on the phone. Call 303-471-8534. Will not use your name on the air. I won't embarrass you. Won't sit down and write and ask for any money. Don't care where you go to church. I want to see you in heaven. 303-471-8534. If you can't afford to call, call me, collect. I'll pick up the tab. Well, friends, for the past half hour, your host has been Evangelist Cecil Knoll. I hope and pray I said something that would encourage you. If you don't know what I'm talking about, you want to talk to me? Hey, I'm not a big shot. You can talk to me on the phone. Sure you can. Oh, yes, you can. 303-471-8534. Beloved, please pray for Gene and I as we do those two services in the prison next Sunday. Pray that the Holy Spirit of God will be so warm and so compelling that men will fall on their knees and cry out, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That God would give us souls for a hire. That's why we go. Well, friend, until it's time next Sunday night, I'd be sure and pray for my wife and I's health. I'm feeling a little better, and I'm thankful, and my wife's feeling a lot better. Okay, until it's time next Sunday night, I want you to be good to your neighbors, stay sweet, keep looking up, for this wonderful, wonderful Jesus is coming soon. Good night, and may God bless you real, real good.